Grace and peace from God our Father, from the precious Savior Jesus. Please go ahead and be seated. And we want to continue today. I mentioned last week that for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be doing the messages focused on the reading from the New Testament, the epistle reading. And it's a straight kind of through section of 1 Corinthians 12 and then into chapter 13 next week, which I'm really looking forward to. You know, that's the love chapter, right? Y'all have heard of that one before. But today, we have the second part of chapter 12, and we're calling this message, God's United People. You know, the Lutheran Church has sometimes been called the singing church. And I just have to say again, when I hear all of your voices united together, praising or praying or whatever it is that we're doing, it's inspiring. It lifts me up. And just in case you didn't know, every once in a while, a pastor needs a pick-me-up. And God's people do that pretty well when I hear that enthusiasm and that singing and everything else. Well, I mentioned that our series is, you know, taking us through this reading in 1 Corinthians. And so I want to read to you one of those verses again from verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. What it's saying, if I can kind of put that into terms, just like we have 10 fingers, 10 toes, we've got, you know, all of our different body parts, but it's just one body. It's just you, you know, whichever you are. It's not a nobody, you're a somebody, right? You're the one body, and you're you. And all of those parts work together to make who you are and to do what you can do. And that is what we want to talk about, how we do that with the gifts that we have from God. But first, before we even get into the idea of the spiritual gifts, which I spent some time on last week, and as I understand, they're starting to put our messages up on the website, or you can get a CD if you want a copy of that, if you were not able to hear it. Unity is a really big deal to God. That's why he's emphasizing this teaching here today. We may have many parts, many members of our body, but we're one body. There's one Gethsemane. There's not 100 Gethsemanes because there's 100 people. There's one Gethsemane. Just like there's one of you, even though you have all different, 206 bones in our body and something like 115,000 miles of arteries, veins, capillaries, everything else. You know, amazing things about how our body is made, but it's just one body. Because unity is a really big deal to Jesus. Us singing as one is big to God. Us living and working and serving and sharing and being an expression of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, is a big deal to God. You heard it, of course, in this in the lesson that we read. You know, we're one body. But I want to take you to another scripture so you can also hear it directly from Jesus' lips. This is a quote from John chapter 17. This is the last prayer Jesus prays before he goes into the garden and prays that prayer, you know, take this cup from me, before he really starts headlong down into everything associated with his suffering and death. And so before all the suffering starts, here's his last prayer. And he says in verse 17, John 17, verse 11, I pray so that they, meaning his church, his disciples, those 12 followers or 70 followers, however many were there were at that time. I pray that they may be one, even as we are one, Father. God wanted his church. He wanted his followers then. Jesus, you know, if you can sort of imagine, he realizes that when the suffering starts, everybody's going to scatter. They're all going to go their own way, but his prayer is that God will bring them back together. That was his prayer for his ancient church. He wanted them there, and he wanted them united and protected by the power of Jesus' name. But it doesn't end there, because Jesus didn't just pray for his church then. He said, I also want to pray for all those who are going to believe because of their message. Do you understand that means you and me? It means the last 2,000 years of Christianity. Jesus didn't just want his church to be united then. He still wants his church to be united today. And that's why he says, and I don't just pray for them, I pray for all those who will believe because of their message, that all of them, for all generations, may be one, Father, even as you and I are one. And here's the really important thing at the end of verse 21. May they be also in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. To try to say that a simpler way, or Jerry's way, that's easier for me to understand it. Maybe it's easier for you, I don't know. Our unity tells the world something about how amazing Jesus is. Our ability with our different backgrounds, our different perspectives, our different opinions, our different likes and dislikes, you know, all of that, when we come together in consensus around decisions and around actions and around loving other people, which is what the gospel is all about, when we come together, the world sees that and it goes, whoa, something powerful is happening here. Something very important is happening here. Jesus wanted that for the first disciples. He wanted that for all subsequent disciples. And something so powerful truly does happen when that sign is there. Do you know the Berlin Wall fell not because the West provided a lot of bullets, but because a lot of Christians behind the Iron Curtain were praying, and they got together and they encouraged each other so much they said, we don't care if they attack us or run us over with tanks. We want freedom. Let's pray and make it so. You know, it was a Christian minister, Martin Luther King Jr. and others along with him, who ended this oppression in our nation and got us united around this idea that we are all created equal and endowed with our Creator, right? With certain inalienable rights. And our Creator also wants us to be unified. Imagine what can still happen when we're unified. Imagine the lives that can be changed. Imagine the sign that gives. Now, I don't know about you, but I've met plenty of people that tell me, oh, I used to go to church, but when they started having their fights over what color the carpet was going to be, when they started having their fights over which hymnal to use, when they started having their fights about how to spend their endowment and their savings, all this, the boat was so rocky, I wanted off. And so our unity is such a sign to people inside the church and outside the church that something very special and godly is happening here. And that's why this idea of being his united people is a really big deal. United as one body, united with, even though we have different gifts and different perspectives, we enrich the whole body when we bring those together. We hear the word together and we're strengthened. You know, Jim talked to us about small groups last week, and imagine that, though, when we're sitting there, you know, as much as church is great, right, and this is a little different than in Jesus' day. In Jesus' day, right, he's in the middle of his sermon, and they go, oh, wait a minute, isn't he Joseph's son? Isn't he the carpenter's son? You know, it'd be kind of interesting to have that happen in the middle of a sermon. I wonder how I'd handle it, right? Somebody asking a question. In small groups, those kind of questions can get asked. Well, What did that mean? I don't know if I understand that. How do I live that out? We can be strengthened together when we hear God's word here in church, yes, but also in small groups where we can talk about it back and forth, where we can wonder how might it be fulfilled among us. And not only are we united then in hearing the word together, but we bring together this idea of hearing and doing. Hearing and doing. I think it's interesting that the people were weeping back there in the Old Testament reading. Did you notice that? They were weeping not because they had been there from early morning till midday. By the way, wouldn't that be something if church lasted every Sunday from early morning to midday? They weren't crying because they'd been listening for that long or because the sermon was bad. They were crying because their doing of the word was so far apart from what the word actually said. Maybe it's the same for us. And maybe we need the unity of the body to help us individually move closer and closer so that what we hear is what we do. I don't know if this helps you in getting this, but whenever you hear the word obey, and especially in the Old Testament, like obey my commandments, do you know that that's not really the word that's there? Might throw you off. I'm not trying to be a heretic here. But the root word that's behind what we translated obey is really do. In other words, if you want to have fantastic blueberry muffins this afternoon, I would suggest it would be really smart for you to do what the recipe says. And if you want to have a strong, peaceful life, a life that can bless others and impact others, and the love of God comes into you and flows out of you into others, if you want to have that kind of life, then God suggests to us that we don't just hear his word, but we follow the recipe. We do it. And when we do it together, when we go, okay, how, what does that mean to you? You know, as a woman, what is that passage? How does that speak to you? As a retiree, as a working person, as a person of a different ethnic background or whatever it is, how do you hear that? And as we enrich each other, we get better ideas of how we can not only hear the word, but then also do it. How do I live that out for someone in poor or humble circumstances? How do I live that out for my neighbor? How do we as a church start to do, whether it's small groups or expand ESL or reach out to other departments, whatever it is, when we are united in our hearing and our doing, really wonderful things start to happen. And to do is what was really meant when you hear obey in the Old Testament, to put it into action, hearing and doing. This is what it has in mind by the Holy Spirit. Don't just, James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 22, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Now, I think I might be speaking for a lot of us in here, but I'll just start with myself, and you can say, yeah, that's me too, if you want to. But trying to do everything that God's word says is on my own strength is really hard. In fact, I'd suggest to you it's impossible. It's probably why the people who had been living so far apart from God without the help of His Holy Spirit, why they were crying, because they realized their doing was so far, what they actually did in their lives was so far apart from what God said was the healthiest, freest, strongest, most holy way to live. That's why they wept. And they needed the Spirit of God. And you and I do too. It is the Spirit of God that enables us to do the Word of God and live it out and be the kind of people that Jesus talks to us about being. In other words, you and I can't live like Jesus without the same Spirit that He was baptized in. We can't say no to sin and yes to God and all the things that God has in mind for us to do unless we are filled with God's strength by His Spirit. That's what He offers to us. By the Spirit in one body, we get united. And when Gethsemane, when you and I are united in that way, watch out. Watch out, because of the lives that are going to be changed and the eternities that are going to be changed as we let the Spirit guide us and unite us and then use our individual parts to play different roles. And it's so, so important to do that. Here's one that by His Spirit I hope could unite us. And a way I want to catch you already, something good that you're doing. Right, if you heard back in the epistle reading, it described and talked about this idea that the certain parts that, you know, we think maybe might be judged as having less honor, we bestow the greater honor on them. And I want to commend you. I want to say how amazing it is that you are so patient and waiting so that at the end of the service, not a single person walks out this door until those candles are all put out by our dear sweet Shannon, right? That's showing honor, yes, to God, but also to Shannon. And when you and I do that, when we show honor to others, we're showing the Spirit's what's guiding us, not our own, oh my gosh, I can't wait to get to Luby's, you know, kind of our own little flesh thing that's going on there. By His Spirit, we are one body. And we have different gifts, right? In this cause that God has, we are united in a cause, but we do it in different ways with different gifts. And you heard some of those described last week. Again, the idea of teaching or encouraging. Some of those gifts that are described in here talks about this idea of us rejoicing with those who rejoice. And we also suffer with those who suffer. We mourn and we hurt with those who mourn. That's a part of how we work together in this cause. But it isn't just for us. It's also a cause beyond us and outside of ourselves to that world that is looking for something different than the dog-eat-dog, live-for-myself, wonder-how-it-all-turns-out, you know, mentality. And those people are looking for what Jesus described. And Jesus is telling us, you and I have a united mission. We're united in a cause, and I want to read it to you from the gospel real quickly. He was reading from Isaiah, and Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He's anointed me," right? The Spirit comes on me to help me proclaim good news to the poor, to help me proclaim liberty to the captives, to help me and all of us recover sight to the blind, even if we are being eyes for them, and to set free those who are oppressed. That's the cause. That's the mission that he's given to us. And he unites us in his spirit. And I want to ask those of you that are people that perhaps you have that gift of prayer, or maybe God's Spirit is really stirring you this morning, and you haven't been a real praying person before, but you're feeling that stirring. I want to ask us to be in prayer this next week. God, show us how that cause looks at Gethsemane. Show us how it looks for us to serve here in the church to one another, whether it's launching again of small groups, but show us also what it looks like for us to serve those outside the church. And I believe if as we do that, God will start to work a unity to us in that cause of how we uniquely as his body will live that out. Until then, let's use our gifts together. Those gifts that we have, the sharing that we can do. You have a gift. And our whole body is healthier and stronger when you, led by the Spirit, strengthened by the Holy Spirit, bring that gift to the table for all of us to be blessed by. May God help us do it now and always. Amen. All right. I want to encourage